Hey, take your Bibles, remain standing. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This evening we'll read verses 1 through 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1 this evening. I'll read verse number 1 aloud, and you'll join me on verse number 2. And we'll read all the way through verse number 6 like that. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not the children, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Let's pray. Lord, we truly thank you, Lord, for all that's taken place here today. We've said it several times, but our hearts truly are just overflowing with joy, Lord, to see answered prayer, to see, Lord, just a little bit of what revival is. And Lord, we've experienced it time and time again. Lord, tonight we come to you and we ask that it not just be another service, but as we hear the word of God being preached, that we'll be challenged, Lord, that we'll be encouraged, Lord, that we'll be reminded of the importance of living every day for you. Lord, we truly look forward to your return, but till then, Lord, may we occupy till you come, and may we just do our best for you. Lord, preach through your word to us. We yield to the Holy Spirit as we listen. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Don't forget, boys and girls, sixth grade and under, stop by my office for a sucker after church tonight. There's other suckers that might be there, but you children get the ones that you can take home. 1 Thessalonians is a very interesting book of the Bible. Chapter 4, towards the end of the chapter, starting in around verse 13 or so, talks about the rapture and other things. Verse 14, "For we believe that if Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And then we start right into chapter 5. "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have not no need that I write unto you." Now everybody look at me for a moment here. God tells us that he's coming back for us. He tells us that he's not going to give us the day nor the hour. And he said, no man knows it's going to come like a thief in the night. Now listen to me very carefully here. There is no way we can predict when the Lord's coming back. I am not going to be giving you the signs of the times. You say, what are the signs of the times? They're in the scriptures. And God says, there's no sense in trying to figure it out because you're not going to figure it out. But he says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you know yourselves perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." But he talks about this season. Now, God tells us he is going to come back one day for those of us who are saved. Yes, we call it the rapture. Amen. Let me tell you something. It will happen before the reign of Antichrist. Right. It's not going to come in the middle. It's not going to come at the end. We're not going to usher in the millennium like the post-millennialists will tell you. We believe in a pre-millennial rapture, pre-trib rapture, because that's what the scripture says. And anything else is bad doctrine, just so you know. You say, preacher, how do you, we'll get into that some other day. But may I tell you something? God does say that we may see the season as it approaches. We might not know what day it is, but we're going to kind of know what season we're in. And may I tell you something? Fall's coming, and Jesus is coming back. Yes, Now, I'm not telling you it's going to happen this fall, but we can see a seasonal change in our world right now. We are definitely seeing how that the evil and the Antichrist is getting things in action. I said this over a year and a half ago. I believe COVID is a precursor to the Antichrist. I believe that all of this is a precursor. I believe that the devil was testing to see where Christianity was in the world, and Christianity has caved. Churches shut down in fear. They shouldn't have. They should have stayed open. Should have had preachers with a backbone get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," like a trumpet, lift up their voice. Instead, they ran and hid and cowered. Now, say, why is that? Because Satan needed to see if there was enough seed left where he could take over the world. Why are they pushing for a mandate for a vaccination? Can I tell you why? Because next time, not this one, but next time or shortly thereafter, there will be a mandate, and they'll do it either inserting it in the forehead or in the back of the hand as the mark of the beast. Yes, then you'll not be able to buy and sell. But by that time, we're out of here. Don't worry about it. You're not going to see that one, just so you know. So don't worry. This one is not it. You're not being microchipped. The next one you may be, but not this one. And if you're here for that one, you're in trouble. That's all I'm going to tell you. Because I'm blowing this popsicle stand. We'll let Brother Barnes or somebody else pastor the church then. y'all know you're in trouble if he shows up pastoring, amen? And he knows I'm kidding. That's why I did that. Now, wait a minute. Jesus will come back. And we can see that things are getting more and more evil. The election. And may I just say this? We don't battle flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6. But against principalities, against spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. That's governments and power. By the way, that's why Bill Gates said something at the beginning of this vaccination. Oh, we'd like to incorporate something to where we could track who does and who does not get this. He said, this will not be the mark of the beast. Those are his exact words. As I said this morning, why is it that your doctor can't give you the vaccine? You say, why is that? Guess who has the most money invested in the pharmaceutical companies? Multi-billionaires who are making more money by the pharmaceutical companies. And the doctors don't want to give it. Hospitals are shutting. Hospitals are being overrun right now, not because of COVID, but because doctors and nurses refuse the vaccination. And they're being fired. I read in Fox News before the service tonight, there's a hospital in New York State that are telling ladies they will not deliver their babies for another 3 weeks because they don't have the staff to do it. Because the nurses have all quit because they refuse to get injected with the vaccination. So if you're pregnant in the state of New York in that city, you better go somewhere else or you better hang on for another 3 weeks. Can you imagine how bad it's going to get with pregnant women not able to have a baby? Mm-mm. Them lawmakers is making the wrong people mad. Whee. You tell some pregnant woman 9 months plus that she can't have her baby. Mm-mm. I'm glad I live here in West Virginia, amen? Now, God tells us that the rapture is going to come and it will happen as a thief in the night. In other words, we don't know when it will happen. I am not going to make a prediction. I will tell you that we're 2,000 years closer to it than we were when Jesus left the earth 2,000 years ago. God doesn't tell us. God does tell us how things will be in the season before his coming, though. Nestled here in 1 Thessalonians 5 is a truth that I want you to see, though. God tells us exactly how we as Christians are to behave ourselves and to act in the season prior to his coming. God tells us, by the way, if you're not careful, you can be walking around pretty discouraged with the way things are right now. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. Dan, before you left, he was getting in his car, and we were talking about some liberals. And I said, Dan, I'd make a horrible liberal. And he just started belly laughing. He said, you're right, Pastor. You would make a bad liberal. You don't waffle at all. I said, nope, I squash waffles. I said, I couldn't be a liberal. I couldn't flip-flop like that. And he just laughed and laughed and laughed. But it's true. I would make a lousy liberal. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God tells us exactly how we are supposed to act in these seasons, the season before his coming. We don't need to live in fear. Nor do we need to be living in reckless abandonment. God tells us, look at verse number 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. God says we're supposed to comfort and edify one another. That's what I'm trying to do as your pastor. Trying to comfort you, let you know there's hope. And hey, the worst days are what we're going to face here. Everything from here is up. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is exactly what I want to do. May I comfort you with something? Jesus is coming again. I also want to edify. That word edify means to build up or to grow. How to wait for his coming. Now, listen to me very carefully for about the next 2 minutes, and then I'll jump right into the sermon. This is part of it, though, but if you miss this, you're going to miss the whole truth. We cannot expect the world or our nation to get better. We can pray for it, and we can work towards it. But my Bible says that things will wax worse and worse. God says that in the last days there will be perilous times. That doesn't sound like it's going to get better, does it? By the way, that's another sermon. God is not concerned about how culturally acceptable we are. We are to obey him as the culture destroys itself. We are not to base what we do on culture. We're to base it on the word of God. My attitude is my fault. Your attitude is your fault. And how we react to the things that are going on in this world, if we're not careful, Christians will get as bad an attitude as the world does, but we get it with the world. I am for being politically active as long as you don't stop being spiritually active. I'm not going to quit pastoring this church to go be a precinct captain. I'm not going to take time away from serving God to get involved, but I think that we ought to stay involved and help the right people. Hey, I'm not a Joe Manchin fan, but right now I'm cheering him on. He may be a liberal, but at least he's standing his ground right now and not selling us down the tubes. I think he's afraid to come back to West Virginia if he does. He knows how we are in this state. We'll hunt him down. Amen. Yeah, God, and I'm not making a threat, just so you know. All right. But these West Virginians where he came from, they will. God does not want us discouraged or floundering or freaked out in the days before his coming. I don't think these are times that we ought to be discouraged. I don't think they're times that we ought to be afraid. God said he does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Everybody else is weirded out. Everybody else is panicking. Everybody else is trembling and delusioned. We ought to be the one saying, look at these dummies. He tells us very plainly how to prepare for his coming and how to live in these days leading up to the scripture. And that's what I want to help you with tonight. Number one, I've got 12 statements and I have 28 minutes. You ready? Here we go. Here we go. Number one, you need to get saved so that you can go up with him at the rapture. If you're not saved, you're not going up. That's what the scripture says. I hate to disappoint you, but look at verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, that's salvation, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Can I tell you something? We ought to get saved. You say, well, preacher, what if I die before the Lord comes back? Then you're going up before I am because you got a 6-foot head start that you got to get. My mama, when the Lord comes back, her Bible says her grave is going to kick open and she'll arise before I do, but I'm going to catch up with her on the way up. She was afraid of heights and afraid of flying, but she won't be then. Amen. Those that have died in death before us who are saved, the Bible says that the graves will kick open and they'll be opened up and they will go up ahead of us. That's going to be a tough one for everybody to explain, isn't it? But I think you can see how everybody quarantined because you got a pandemic, the rapture takes place. They said, well, we had to open up other graves and just throw people in because so many people died, we had to use other graves. Hang in there. So the only way up is to get saved. That's it. They say, well, hopefully I'll be good enough. Nobody's good enough. The only way to be good enough is to get saved. That's why the gospel is the greatest message we can do today. The best thing you can do as an American citizen is get as many people saved as you can and teach them what the Bible says, and maybe we can bring righteousness back to a nation. Amen. Number two, you didn't think I'd go that fast, did you? Don't put your shoes on yet. We have 11 more. God tells us to warn the unruly. Look at verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now look at me. God tells us to warn those who are unruly. These are people who willingly choose not to live by the law and the laws of God and the laws of man. These are your protesters. These are your God rejectors. God said to warn them. Do you know those people don't intimidate me? I'm not the smartest person in the world, but liberals don't intimidate me. People that are dying and going to hell do not intimidate me. Well, they have many degrees. I don't care how many degrees they have. They're not real bright if they're going to die and go to hell. Amen. If they're too stupid to trust in Jesus, guess what? I'm not intimidated by them. This may mean not following evil or goodness or professionals like educators or scientists or politicians. Thank God for men like Dan Neff and Alex Mooney. They're good men. Are they perfect men? No, but no nail prints. Neither am I. As I said this morning, not all of them are bad. But the percentage of good ones is pretty low right now. Now, wait a minute. Be careful basing everything you know by what the news media says. Those are unruly people. The educators are unruly people. Public education in America today is propaganda. It is not education. Our vice president yesterday made a statement that I have been preaching for about 20 years. I have said, you've heard me say it from behind this pulpit, I believe in unity. Liberalism and communism and socialism believes in unification. Our vice president yesterday said we need unification on things, not just unity. Hello. That ought to make you want to get angry. That ought to make you tremble just a little bit of somebody brash enough to say that. This means we ought to obey God instead of man. Yes, it may cost us, but guess what? It's a price worth paying. You say, preacher, are you ever worried about what would happen to you? Nope. Say, why? I just happen to believe God. And I happen to believe in obeying God over man any day of the week. these are your protesters and your rioters. Don't get caught up in this crowd. By the way, I don't think that we ought to be the ones protesting them either. I know that there are several churches that I know across this country that instead of going soul winning, they make signs and protest against abortion clinics. You're looking at a man that is as against people killing babies as anybody is, trust me. You'll go long and hard to find somebody that preaches against it as hard as I do. But may I say something? I'm not going to waste my time with a sign out in front of an abortion clinic. If I'm going to be at an abortion clinic, it's going to be there soul winning, not handing out a sign saying, I'm against abortion. We don't need to take time away from doing God's work just to say that here's my opinion. I'm not against parades and county fairs and stuff, but bless the Lord, I'm not going to set up a booth at the county fair and say, here we are, we're at the fair. I know enough going on at the fair. I don't want to be associated with it. Okay. We don't need to worry about our truth offending people. Amen. Well, I'll do it as long as I don't offend somebody. About time we start offending somebody. Amen. They're offending me. Let's let the truth offend them. I didn't say you had a bad attitude while you did it. Well, let's let the truth offend them, not our attitude. Amen. So, first of all, you need to get saved. Number two, God tells us to warn the unruly. Next, God says that we are to, in verse number 14, comfort the feeble-minded. God tells us to comfort the feeble-minded. Now, he did not tell us what to do with the no-minded. But he says, comfort the feeble-minded. These who are people who are unsteady, unsure. If I may, these are your older people. You know, I wasn't looking at you, Brother Larry. Not till you did that. Now I'm preaching at you. Now, wait a minute. The older crowd is real unsure what's happening. You get the folks in the upper senior years and life's really confusing to them right now. This is a whole different world than what they grew up in. And it's a little bit like we were at World War II. We really couldn't believe that Hitler could be as evil as he really was. Some of the older folks don't realize how evil things really are that are going on around them, and they don't see it all. They don't understand it. They don't understand the new terminologies and the technology and everything that's out there that's propagating all this. And it's a bit fretful, and God says, comfort those who are feeble-minded. You have people that just really don't know what's going on in life. God says we are to comfort them. These are people who are sick. You know, sick people get feeble. I'm going to give you an opinion. Okay? This is my opinion. If you differ with me, have at it. And I'm good with it. And I would never disagree with you. This is just my opinion. I believe COVID is a higher power disease that was given to strain out the weak. I believe it is a tool of Antichrist, just like Hitler went in and exterminated the weak. He got rid of the weak people. He got rid of the mentally handicapped people. He got rid of people that had disabilities. He got rid of older people, the extermination camps. He wanted a race of people that were productive that he could use to build his empire, and he wanted to take everything else out of the way because he didn't want to waste resources on them. Read it. That's exactly what he did. By the way, that's why when Obamacare was passed, he had in it that there was extermination of elderly people that became unable to produce in society. He wanted the ability for us to be able to kill off the old people that weren't producing. As all I can see is Nancy Pelosi. We're doing this whether you want it or not. Yeah, wish maybe she would be our first one to start with. I just kind of believe that the powers that be and the higher powers like Mr. Fauci and those that support him are the ones that are propagating this to get rid of the weak people. You can disagree with me. That's fine. And I wouldn't argue that long with you over it. But may I say something? Don't believe the news. Well, all these people that are filling the hospitals, are they unvaccinated? We didn't believe them on the statistics to begin with. Why do you want to believe them now? Don't believe Facebook and social media. God says, comfort those who are feeble and afraid. That means we're supposed to bring comfort to them. That's what I try to do as a pastor, is try to comfort people. Number four, God tells us to support the weak. Notice in verse 14 again. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Now, these are people too weak on their own. This is not welfare. God says support them. He didn't say supply everything that they need.
Amen.
Lending support means that you aid somebody. You don't give them everything they need. When Dr. Lee Robertson in his last years, he was in his upper 80s, maybe 90, the last time I saw him. And he would speak for Brother Hiles, and I would get to be with him. For years, I would escort him, and for the first couple years, I would walk with him, but there came a time where he said, Brother Bush, when we go down those steps, could I put my hand on your shoulder as we go down? I said, yes, sir, do you need me to hold you? He said, no, sir, just let me steady myself on your shoulder. If you'll just go one step at a time, and when I hit the step with you, you go. I said, that'll be fine. But the last time he was there, he looked at me with a tear in his eye before we walked out. He said, Brother Bush, he said, when you come get me, I'm going to need to hang on to your arm on the way up and on the way down. My legs are too tired. I said, Dr. Robertson, it'll be an honor for me. He said, it's going to have to go slow, son. I said, I'll go as slow as you need me to go. I said, you're the leader. I'm the follower. I remember Dr. Robertson taking that shaky old arm, and we'd walk up those steps one at a time. I remember when he preached for 14 minutes and sat down. I escorted him back down those steps, one step at a time. Say, what was it? He was weak. Now, I didn't pick him up and carry him, but I supported him. That's what God's talking about here, supporting the weak. These are children, teens, elderly people that need a little bit of extra help understanding. You know that it's a fearful time for children to grow up. Imagine being a teenager right now. I'm glad I don't have to do that again. Teen years are unstable to begin with. You throw all this stuff out there. Good night. I remember when my wife and I were engaged, everybody was praying for the rapture. I'm thinking, can you wait till I get married? At least a little while. I remember when we were building this building, and I was getting a little tired, said, Lord, would you come back? Well, wait a minute, I put all this work into it. Let's have one Sunday in it at least, all right? But God says to support those who are weak. Realize that these are frightening days for the weak. That means this. They're very unsure of the future. We have to be there to secure them and say, it's okay, you're going to make it. Number five, and I must hurry. God says to be patient towards all men. Look at the last part of that verse. Be patient towards all men. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Does that say towards all saved people? God says be patient with all people. Not just patient with your family. This means being patient with stupid people. This means being patient with idiots. This means being patient with people with whom you work. Being patient with people at the stop sign. I know, I just went to meddling, didn't I? This means being patient with businesses that lack professionalism and customer service. Boy, does that drive me nuts. You want to get me angry, just show up to the you know, the help desk at the local store and find out how much helpless they are. Be patient with people long enough to maybe get them the gospel and help win them. You're not going to change America to be what she was yourself. You may as well be patient. You may as well realize they're idiots. Okay, I'm dealing with dumb sheep. Some are goats and some are dead goats, but we're going to deal with it, and you're just going to have to be patient and realize, well, that's not the way it used to be. Well, it may not be the way it used to be, but you're not going to bring it back. They can't find people to work anymore. Everywhere I go, I hear people say, Pastor, if you know somebody that needs a job, I got jobs for them. If you can't find a job in these days, you don't want a job. Number six, I got to hurry. Look at verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. God says, don't render evil for evil. Can I tell you something? When evil is done, we should not be evil back. We ought not plan a destruction of someone else. We ought to, God says, don't render evil for evil done to you. How do you overcome evil? By doing good. God says, do good to them. Do good when evil comes. You overcome evil with good. Now, sometimes you can't do good to the person who did you evil, but you can do good.
Yes.
And in the doing of good, eventually, you may win the one who did evil to you and be able to do good to them. I have someone who was evil towards me for quite a while. They have faced difficulty. Recently, they said, could I meet you in a few weeks and let's have coffee? I said, Preacher, are you going to do it? Yep. Say, why? I've been doing good all along. Why couldn't I do good to them? Everybody understand that? You see, God doesn't say that you're going to do good just to the Christian. God said do good to all men. Maybe you ought to try doing good to your boss instead of criticizing him and tearing him down to everybody. Maybe we ought to do good to people, whether, and by the way, that doing good isn't in reference just to the person doing you wrong. Just do good. I've got to hurry. Look at verse number 16. God says, rejoice evermore. Now look at me. That word rejoice does not mean be happy. There is a difference between joy and happiness. And I want you to notice what it says. It says, rejoice. That means have joy again. It means to have joy again and again and again and again. It's in the linear or aorist tense in the Greek, which means to keep having joy. Do you know what joy is? Joy is the right attitude while you're going through opposition. And God says you're going to have to keep rejoicing as the opposition comes. Say, Preacher, don't you ever get down? I might get down, but I don't stay down. I get back up real quick.
Amen.
I'm kind of like one of those rubber balls. I might hit the floor, but I'm going to bounce right back up. You know, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. God says to rejoice. We ought to have the right attitude in the face of difficult times. Can I tell you something? When you have the right attitude in a difficult time, can I tell you what's going to happen? When everybody else has had a bad time, they're going to come to you and say, what makes you tick? It's not a what, it's a who. His name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. God told us it's going to get worse and worse, not better and better. How about we decide we're not going to get all mopey and all discouraged about it? How about we rejoice and realize that means Jesus is coming that much sooner? I get excited as things get worse and worse. I just keep looking up, hoping that the skies are going to bust open. Amen. Folks, this kind of stuff doesn't make me discouraged. I don't get upset. I get excited. Every day I wake up is one day closer to the rapture or one day closer to heaven. Number eight, God says, look at verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. That means this: constantly talk to God through your walk through life. That doesn't mean you get on your knees and fold your hands and close your eyes and talk to God for 24 hours a day. I talk to God as I walk. I talk to God as I drive. And many others talk to God as I drive too. I mean, we ought to talk to God as we drive. We ought to talk to God as we walk through life, as we do business. Good night. I've been strolling down through the stores and whistling and singing and talking to the Lord. And I had a lady walk up to me and she said, "Boy, you're happy." I said, "You would be too." She said, "Who are you talking to?" I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "You're talking just a second ago. Who was you talking to?" I said, "The Lord." "Oh." She asked. I wasn't talking to her. Wait a minute. God says that we ought to always be in a mindset of being able to talk to him. Ladies, it's kind of like when you're cooking dinner. You got about 14 things going at the same time. Now, it's going to be dinner, but you got everything on the stove and the countertop and putting stuff away, pulling stuff out. You got the spices out. You're putting the, you got all the measuring spoons and measuring cups and bowls and pans. And, you know, a man looks at that and says, I know it's going to be good, but glad I don't have that mess. Y'all know what I'm talking about, but you're constantly, you're not just cooking one thing at a time and get it done and go to the next one. You got them all going at the same time. That's what God says, pray without ceasing. You keep it all going, but you talk to him while you're doing it all. Boy, that's good stuff. Don't look to the news to give you comfort. Look to God. Don't talk to the television and the Facebook and the telephone. Talk to God. Amen. Number 9, I got to hurry. Look at verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Can I tell you something? Be thankful for what you have. Amen. How about we quit wanting so much and be thankful for what we do have? How about we be thankful for everything that we get in this life? I don't know about you, I'm thankful for today. Amen. And tomorrow, I'll be thankful for tomorrow. Amen. And I'm thankful that I have everything that I have, but may I say something? I'm not wanting a whole bunch of other stuff. Say why? I'm just thankful for what I got. I don't have a lot of big desires out there. My biggest desire is that we reach more people and help more people with the gospel. Amen. In everything, give thanks. That means this: take inventory of the good you have and thank God for it. When's the last time you took every person in your family within the walls of your home and thanked God for them? How about thanking people for the influence that they've had in your life along the way for good? How about thanking God for the finances you do have and quit complaining about what you wish you had? How about we thank God for our marriages? Folks, I thank God for the marriage I have. I mean that. We were traveling in Georgia somewhere, and I said, I forget where we were, and said something about being married 32 years, and somebody said, "Boy, that's a long time." I just looked and I thought, well, my mom and dad were married 59 years. I got two aunts and uncles that have been married over 60 years. I had a set of grandparents that were married over 70 years. My brother's been married about 40 years, pretty near that. Can I tell you something? We're the babies in the family. And I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. How about you thank God for your job? Amen. Instead of complaining about it, be thankful you have one. Amen. Well, I wished it was. Let's forget about wishing what was and what you wish you had. How about we just be thankful for what we do have? Right. Number 10, look at verse number 19. Quench not the Spirit. Notice that's capital S. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Look at me. Be careful we don't quench the Holy Spirit in our life because of our bad attitude. How about we not quench the Holy Spirit by saying, "Well, I don't need to do it God's way. This is the way I see it." Uh-oh. That means we need to submit to the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God. By the way, in these days, we need it more and more. Did you notice I didn't preach any different with a politician here than I did when they're not here? That's good. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I wasn't trying to depress anybody, but I wasn't trying to impress anybody either. Truth is truth. It doesn't matter who's here. This isn't smorgasbord and you go up and get what you want. This is military, child. Hold it out and we're flopping it on a plate there. That's just the way it's got to be. How about we let the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and our walk with God, do you read the Bible and God gives you something? How about you read it till He does? Don't get me wrong. I love reading my Bible. I've already gotten through the Bible over twice this year. I can't hardly read the Bible anymore without... every time I read the Bible, I come up with two or three or four sermons. I have a stack of sermon ideas this thick right now. Every time I read, I have more sermons to work on than I have life left in me. And I just keep throwing ideas aside and working them, and then I'll read and I get more sermons. It's like, you just keep coming. Hey, that's what God says ought to be. Don't quench the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something through the Scripture, obey Him. Number 11, look at verse number 21. Prove all things. Despise not prophesying. That means this. Don't hate the preacher and don't hate preaching.
Amen.
Come to the preaching. Look at verse 20. 21, I'm sorry. Prove all things. That word prove all things means this. Look at it in light of Scripture, not your own opinion. Look at it in light of what God says, not what somebody told you 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years ago. Look at it in light of Scripture as it is today. Don't let emotion or what you decide the Bible. Let the Bible decide the Bible. Too many of us read the Bible based on emotion. I'm not against emotion. Did you notice what I said earlier? I think we experienced every emotion a person could experience in church this morning. But it wasn't a psychological issue. There was heart and soul. There was true ripping at our hearts of that story of Brother Frank talking to that fellow with the baby or with the child holding that stuffed animal and decapitated. Oh, my soul. And I know how hard it was on Brother Frank to even be here and say anything at all. That's like asking somebody that saw action in war to tell you about what happened. They don't want to talk about it. He looked at me and said, "Oh, preacher, I can't tell." He said, "I can't tell many things." I said, "I'm not asking you to." I said, "Just be general." He said, "Is this too graphic?" I said, "Not for my crowd." I said, "We need to hear those things." He said, "I'll tell that one, but that's it. I can't go any farther." He said, "I don't think I could make it through anymore." I said, "That's fine, Brother Frank. Can I tell you something? God says, prove all things." How about we get into our Bibles enough to where when the preacher preaches, we say, "I saw that. I didn't see it quite that way, but I read that." Just because you trusted somebody years ago doesn't mean that they haven't changed. Prove it. Preachers change. Be careful. Number 12, and I'll finish with this. Look at verse number 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't associate with evil. Don't associate with evildoers. That means this. Don't listen to gossip.
Amen.
And don't hang around people that gossip.
Amen.
Did you know that a gossip has to have an ear to be successful? Don't let them vomit in your ear. You wouldn't want somebody to come up and barf in your ear, then why do you let them tell you gossip? I'm going to say a couple things here. That means this. We ought to be careful about our music that we ought not associate with evil music. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you use the devil's music with God's words, it's an appearance of evil. Am I right? Well, I want to reach those people. Then reach them God's way, not man's way.
Amen.
Now I'm going to meddle. Let's be careful what we watch as entertainment. If it's evil, I don't know that I would be watching it. Be careful of your superheroes that fight evil. We're associating with evil. how about we be appropriate with people ethically? Let's not be unethical with people. I thank God for good ethics. Thank God I was taught them, and I thank God I still live good ethics. Don't get involved in the new religions and the modern contemporary stuff. I made a joke when we had the screen up here this morning for the little 7 or 8 minutes that we showed the thing about the national anthem and how that came about. Don't worry, we're not going contemporary, and y'all laugh, but there's people here that didn't understand anything different. They wouldn't have known. It's not follow the bouncy ball. I got to quit. God gives us 12 things on how we should behave in this season before he comes back. Those 12 things are found here in 1 Thessalonians 5. We don't know when he's coming, but I can promise you this, it's soon. It's soon. Say, how soon, preacher? I don't know. But I know it's 2,000 years sooner than it was when Jesus left.
Amen.
I know that much. That means it's got to be getting pretty close.
Amen.
And according to Scripture, things are getting pretty close to the way it says it will be in those last days. So how about we practice these 12 things and be ready when he does come. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I make no prediction. I can't tell you that it's going to happen this week, this month, this year. Maybe not even this decade, but I do know this, it's coming soon. It's coming soon.